Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, assalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum everybody. So welcome to our 5th episode of the 5 series, specifically the Salah series in the 5 overall, the 5 series. So far, you know, alhamdulillah, we've been able to have amazing conversations about the ins and outs of prayer, the ins and outs of what makes prayer what it is, why it's important, the origins of prayer. And then last week, if everybody remembers, we had the opportunity to discuss the idea of the different sorts of prayers, the different types of prayers, and also the rewards behind those prayers. And so today we come to a really, really opportune topic, I would say, which is something that we all, to be quite honest with you, struggle with very, very deeply. And this topic today is the topic of, and if you can tell on the title, it says, I just can't concentrate in my salah. This is something that, you know, it ails the heart of a lot of people. It's something that is very common for all of us, in which we try to do the best that we can in terms of our khushu when we pray, which is a word that we'll learn today. What does the word khushu mean? How does somebody achieve khushu? Is it natural for a person to get distracted during their prayer? Or is it something that, you know, just very few select people struggle with and those who are pious don't really struggle with? We'll talk a little bit about that today, inshallah, all together. So the first and foremost thing that I wanted to kind of ask everybody is, this is kind of like a framework question that will help us think as the session goes on today. And that question is, which place of prayer for you is most peaceful? I want everyone right now to almost like close their eyes, okay? Close your eyes and envision a place that you pray, that you have access to, that is extremely peaceful for you. You know, for a lot of us, it may be a specific part of our home. For some of us, it may be like a space outdoors where you're almost like exposed to nature and just like sounds that you don't hear on a daily basis. What is a place where you find very, very peaceful and serene for yourself when you engage in something like salah? For me personally, we actually, alhamdulillah, you know, sometimes I do this is we have this patio outside. We live on a little bit of a higher floor apartment complex. And when I go out there specifically and I pray, I find myself to be a little bit more concentrating on my salah than I am when I'm inside, say, for example, like a living room where you see, you know, from the corner of your eye, you see a television or you have access to your laptop in your room. Wherever you are, you know, almost taking yourself out of that situation makes you a little bit more uniquely, you know, concentrated on your prayer that you're engaging in. So somebody says their home, very good. A home is something that we all find some sort of comfort in, inshallah, right? A dark bedroom or an empty mosque, very good. Actually, that's a very, very interesting answer. I have personally always found an empty masjid to be very beautiful in terms of prayer. I know we have this kind of, you know, nuance that obviously we want the masajid to be filled with people. We want it to be packed to the brim with people that are praying with you. But I love praying like Asr Salah in an empty masjid. You know, it's like just you, or you're coming after the jama'ah is over, or you're praying with a few other people. Just that serenity in the middle of the day is really, really hard to grab. Somebody else, a dedicated prayer corner in my house, very good, Alishba. That's always something that's really useful. Actually, we'll talk about that at the end when we talk about the tips and advice. Sinan says, next to my bed, I have a really soft prayer mat. Very good. Very, very good. So that's like your spot. Somebody else said, you agree with me about the quiet masajid, right? Yes, you can feel the serenity and almost the presence of the angels. Very good. I like that. You almost, you know, when you're surrounded by people, sometimes you forget that there are other creations of Allah that pray to Him as well. And the Malaika are one of those creations that they actually engage in the worship of Allah. There's actually a verse in the Quran that mentions that every creation of God praises Him and worships Him, right? Every creation of Allah worships Him in their own unique way. You just have no idea in which way they do it. The trees, the wind, the animals, even things like the rocks, things that are inanimate, these things are actually have said to They worship Allah in their own way. You just have no idea how they do it. How amazing is that, subhanAllah? So a good way to kind of exercise and think about these things is very, very good. So number one, the first thing we have to understand is that humanity has weaknesses. Okay, when it comes to concentration and forgetfulness, human beings, people, have this tendency to be weak, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He actually mentions in the Quran, He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. He says that Allah will, He does not like to burden you. Okay, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to lighten your burden for you. Okay, Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to lighten your burden for you because He knows that human beings get very easily overwhelmed. And one of the most amazing things actually is something that we talked about last week or a couple of weeks ago, is that Salah initially was supposed to be 50. Salah initially was supposed to be 50. 50 salawat a day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy and also the understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was it was lessened down to 5 prayers a day, because Musa alayhi salam, another prophet of olden times, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, go back and ask Allah to lessen it for you, because your people will not be able to keep up and it will become a burden upon them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran specifically, He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ, that Allah does not like to burden you. He likes to lighten your burden. And He says, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Okay? وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. That human beings have been created weak. You know? A lot of us sometimes have this facade that we have strength during times in our lives, right? Like we're strong people. And this is kind of like a part of just overall agenda of motivation and keeping us going as human beings. But the reality is that there will be moments in your life where you realize how weak you are. And if you don't believe me, say for example, like you're on a diet, right? You're on a diet. You're trying to you're trying to almost stay the course of being healthy, eating healthy foods, portion control, not, you know, staying away from certain fatty foods and things that are heavy with, you know, fat and salt, whatever it may be. But the moment that you see it coming across your vision, you almost like lose all of those things that you set out for yourself, right? I have to make sure that I don't eat this. But human beings are created so weak, right? Even people that are extremely pious, even pious people have moments of weakness. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the default of humanity is وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, that we have created human beings as weak. And if you actually want another example of this, is that look at the story of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Prophet Adam alayhi salam, the first human being, the first prophet that was ever created by Allah, he was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ, do not approach this tree. Do not go near, taqraba, don't go near it. And Prophet Adam alayhi salam, he saw the entire situation unfold with Iblis, how he disobeyed God and he disobeyed Allah's command. And so therefore he was banished from the heavens. And so Prophet Adam said, Allah, I will obey you. I will obey you and I will listen to you and I will not go near this tree as you have ordered me not to. And literally moments later, after shaitan influences them a little bit with a little bit of his whispering, what we call in Islam his waswasa, right? Alladhi yuwaswisu fi suduri nas. Shaitan whispers into the hearts of the, or into the chests of mankind. After a little bit of waswasa, a little bit of persuasion, Prophet Adam alayhi salam shows his human weakness. Although the prophets of Allah are the people who are the most protected, they're the ones who are the most willing to obey Allah, even the prophets of Allah have these moments of slip up. And this is just the disposition that human beings are created weak. That, you know, moments ago, Allah says, I have given you all of this. I have given you the entirety of paradise to enjoy. Just do not approach this tree. So human beings are given so much and told to stay away from so little, but we have trouble staying away from that little. And there's another narration in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He actually says that when affliction touches mankind, He calls upon His creator. When affliction touches mankind, they call upon their creator, whether lying on their side or sitting or standing. But when we remove that affliction from them, He continues, or she continues, in disobedience as if He never called upon us to begin with. SubhanAllah. You know, how forgetful we are as people. You know, that we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we need Him. And the moment when things are going well, we tend to just kind of get away from Allah slowly but surely. We start to call out to Allah when our backs are against the wall, when we have nobody else on our corner. And we ask Allah, Ya Allah, help me out of this situation. Ya Allah, relieve this pain from my heart, from my life. And Allah says, the moment that human beings get healed from a certain situation, they go back and engage in disobedience as though they never asked Allah for help. And this is sometimes the default forgetfulness of human beings, that we're just very forgetful people. I mean, think about in a day how many times you get distracted from a task, right? Whether you're a student, you're in school, whether you are an employee that goes to work, whether you're a person who gives their time volunteering, or whether you're just doing things in the house like chores or housework or cleaning up the kitchen or bathroom or doing your bedroom or whatever you're doing, right? Imagine, think about how many times in a day that you get distracted. Wallahi, I will tell you something. People even get distracted from like luxury things, right? I remember sitting and I remember we were watching a movie one time, and the person that we were watching a movie with literally got so distracted by just a notification on their phone that they weren't even watching the movie anymore, right? They were just going through their phone. And subhanAllah, I thought to myself at that moment, I said, wow, human beings get distracted at next level. Right? Like there's no other creation of Allah that gets distracted like us, because we're so prone to just getting off target, right? We have a task that we have to complete, but for some reason, our minds are just made so weak, right? وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, that we're made so weak that even for a minute we can't concentrate, we have difficulty in doing so. But there's also beauty in understanding that your disposition does not have to turn into an excuse. Okay, your disposition does not have to turn into an excuse. You know, it's always problematic when we ourselves make something that we're born with an excuse, right? For example, people have personalities, right? Everybody has personalities. Some people's personalities are very calm. Some people's personalities are very hot-tempered. Some people are naturally born with the inclination towards just wanting to relax. But you know, the harm comes in when a person has a disposition, say for example, of anger, okay? A person gets angry easily and they know that the anger has affected their hearts and their relationships, their lives very, very significantly. And that person says, well, I'm just an angry person, deal with it, right? I'm just an angry person. Allah has created me angry, so I am just angry. So take me as I am or watch me as I go. We in Islam do not believe in that principle. We in Islam believe that your disposition never should become an excuse for you to do whatever you do. Your disposition, obviously, if it's something that's negative, should be something that is worked on your entire life. Just because Allah said, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, that you're created weak as a human being, do we just say, oh, Allah created me weak so I can just go ahead and do whatever I want and succumb to my desires and my whims and my satiation? No. We as human beings know that we're weak, but that point of weakness is not just we just accept it. It's actually a challenge for you. It should be a challenge for you. That it's something that Allah has given you as a challenge in your life. That you as a human being, you were created with this kind of humanity. You have moments of weakness. You have moments of being a little bit timid. You have moments of being almost, you are compromised. But that doesn't mean, oh, you know what? This is what Allah has given me, and I'm just gonna go ahead and succumb to it. No. That's the same concept as like, you know, when you have like almost like an autoimmune situation in your health, right? You have been given this disposition of being more compromised in terms of your health. Do you just sit back and say, woe is me, right? Oh, I'm just allergic. I have major asthma. I have this. I have that. You know, I have issues with my breathing. I have issues with my this or my that. Do you just say, okay, that's an excuse for me to never be healthy and work out? No. What you do when you, for example, I'll give you a personal example of myself. I was born with asthma, you know, as my siblings have been as well, right? My younger sister, my older sister, all of us, subhanAllah, Allah has given us this challenge that in our health called asthma. We all have it. When we, you know, when we basically exert ourselves too much, we start having trouble breathing. Now, I have two options at this moment. I can either say that Allah has given me asthma as a disposition and I'm just going to basically not do anything with my life. I'm just going to sit back and not play sports. I'm not going to work out. I'm not going to do anything, because the moment I go and work out, I start kind of huffing and puffing and having these problems. Or number two, I can say, you know what? There have been MashaAllah, amazing advances in medicinal technology, where people have created these medicinal, you know, products that allow me to go and do things just like I'm a normal person. And I can take an inhaler, I can take albuterol, I can take this or that, and I can now maneuver through this challenge that Allah has given me and still continue to do good things. That is the mentality of a Muslim when it comes to being called a weak person. That Allah has created you weak. It's not an insult, it's a reality. Now, what are you going to do with that reality? That's the question, okay? Now, another thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this realm of concentrating in prayer is that even the question of feeling bad about your concentration is proof that you care, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the people who are in fear of Allah are the ones who are actually favored. Because you're afraid that you're not doing as best as you can possibly do. So when you're almost afraid that, you know, my concentration is lacking, you know, I need to do something to change my concentration in my salah, it's actually a good thing. A heart that feels sensitive is actually a beating heart. We in Islam believe that a heart that is worrisome is one that does not feel anything anymore. When you pray and you're just going through the mundane actions and you don't care about it anymore, that is a moment of concern. But when a heart starts to pray and they say Allahu Akbar and they get distracted by things and they get distracted by this thought and this task and that task after prayer, and afterwards you say, oh subhanAllah, man, I did not concentrate on my prayer that well. I should have done better. I know I could have done better. That is the moment when you know that the heart is working. The heart should feel some sort of regret after doing something that wasn't the best that it could possibly offer. The heart can always feel something. And as long as the heart feels something, you know that you're doing something right. Okay. The Quran also says, this is a very, very beautiful verse in the Quran. This is actually in Surah Al-Mu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. He describes the people who are successful. He says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That the believers are successful. And sometimes in the Quran, Allah does something very interesting. Allah puts at first the ones who he's describing, and then after the description of the ones he describes. And sometimes in the Quran, Allah gives the description first, and then he puts the one being described after. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Meaning that he says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. The people who spend for the sake of Allah in by the day and by the night, in secret and in public. Okay, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ. They control their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they forgive other people. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Those are the ones that Allah loves. So sometimes Allah speaks in that pattern. But sometimes Allah also speaks in the opposite pattern, where he tells you the one who's being described first, and then he gives the description after. So Allah in this ayah, he says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful are the believers. So now you know that the believers are successful. But how are they successful? Allah, how are they successful? What's your description of the successful believers? And Allah answers that in the second ayah. He says, "الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ." Okay, he says, "الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ." Those who humble themselves and concentrate in prayer. "الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ." They concentrate in their salah. خَاشِعُونَ. This is what it means to have khushu'. To have khushu' means to stand in prayer and humble yourself. Okay? Because the word khashi'un doubles for one who concentrates and one who is humble. Khasha'a means the one who is humble, and because of their humility, they are able to concentrate. SubhanAllah. Look at the parallel that Allah is drawing between those who are humble and those who have the ability to concentrate. Allah is saying that if you humble yourselves in front of Allah, if you humble yourselves in front of God, you will find it easier to concentrate in your prayers. And we'll talk a little bit about why that's true, okay? And the reality is that there are actually some beautiful, beautiful moments of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, where he describes the difficulty of concentrating in prayer. Not only does he describe the importance of concentrating, but he gives us some slack. He says, it's not easy. It's not easy to concentrate in your prayer. It's hard. It's hard work to concentrate in prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one time he said that when the iqama is done, when the iqama is given, meaning that when, you know, the adhan is over and the time for the standing for your salah has come, and the person gives the iqama, he says that once the iqama is done, the shaitan approaches. Because during the adhan and the iqama, the shaitan, he flees. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Shaitan wants no part of it. He's out of there. He does not like when Allah's name is called, and he does not like the remembrance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But as soon as the iqama is over, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that the shaitan, he appears again. And he approaches a believer to the point that he comes between a person and his soul. That's the actual verbiage of this hadith. That after the iqama is over, the shaitan, he comes so close to a person during their prayer that he comes in between a person and his or her soul, saying, remember this and remember that. So shaitan in our prayer approaches us so closely. He comes in between a person and their soul, the thing that they're trying to connect to Allah. And shaitan says, oh, wait, remember that test you got to turn in later today? What about that? Oh, remember like that dinner you're supposed to cook, man, that steak. Did you take it out of the freezer to marinate? Did you let that meat thaw out of the freezer? You know, shaitan will come to you and he'll say, oh, do you remember, right? Remember you got to text that friend back? You remember he texted you like a week ago and, man, you messed up. You didn't text him back for a whole 3 days. You got to text that person back, right? And all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself, I can remember half this stuff right before I said Allahu Akbar. But as soon as I say Allahu Akbar, all of a sudden I'm the biggest genius of all time. I remember like the things that I forgot during my test. I remember the homework that I forgot right now. I remember the text messages that I forgot to reply to just a few minutes ago. All of a sudden in my salah, I remember everything. There was a fascinating story from the life of Imam Abu Hanifa, where a man came up to Imam Abu Hanifa one time and he told Imam Abu Hanifa, he says, yeah, Imam, I cannot remember where I kept my gold and my money. Okay, so a man comes up to Imam Abu Hanifa, and back then, obviously, this is before banks and, you know, places of security. They used to actually bury their wealth in the ground. They used to bury their wealth into the ground. They used to dig holes, then they used to bury their gold and silver into the ground. And he had forgotten, his memory had been lost about where he buried his gold and silver. And so he goes up to Imam Abu Hanifa, he says, yeah, Imam, I have forgotten where I buried my money. And so Imam Abu Hanifa, he goes, I want you to go and perform 2 raka'ah of nawafil salah. Okay? I want you to go perform 2 raka'ah of nafil salah. Meaning, it's voluntary prayer. Okay? I want you to go and offer 2 raka'ahs of voluntary prayer. And so the man goes, how's that going to help me? And Imam Abu Hanifa goes, just do as I say and go offer 2 raka'ah of nafil salah. So the man, he goes and he is in the middle of his prayer. Okay? He's Allahu Akbar. And he's in the middle of offering his voluntary prayer. In the middle of his salah, all of a sudden, he remembers where he buried his gold. He remembers where he buried that money. And so he breaks his salah in fear of forgetting where he buried it. He breaks his salah and he goes and he digs up his money and he finds it. He goes back to Imam Abu Hanifa and he says, oh, Imam, how did you know? How did you know that if I prayed my salah, I would be able to find my gold and silver? How did you know I would be able to find exactly where it is? And Imam Abu Hanifa, he says, did you complete your salah? He goes, did you complete your salah? And the man, he goes, no, I actually broke it out of fear that I would forget where the money would be. So I broke my salah and I went and dug up my gold and silver. And Imam Abu Hanifa, he goes, shaitan hates salah so much that he's actually willing to help you in your prayer in this worldly life to break you away from it. Subhanallah. Because shaitan is so hateful of prayer that he is willing to help you remember where certain worldly things are so he can get you away from your salah. So Imam Abu Hanifa, he goes, now go and make up your 2 raka'ah. You shouldn't have broken your 2 raka'ah. How incredible is that story? That literally shaitan is willing to even help us. Shaitan is willing to help you. So sometimes it will be good. Like, it'll be a good feeling, right? Like, you'll remember something you forgot like a week ago. You'll remember something you forgot a whole week ago. And because of that, Shaitan will be willing to help you. But in reality, it's actually worse for you because your salah is better for you. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so many times, right, that the akhirah is better than this dunya. Okay? That وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. Right? That the hereafter is better than this life. Anything that you do in this life will have a certain limit. Your hereafter will always, always, always be better. So don't break anything for Allah to gain some sort of benefit in this life. It's not worth it. The Prophet ﷺ, he talked about this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned this in the Quran. So how can we concentrate in our salah? I'll leave everybody with four tips today, inshallah. Four tips. I want everyone to be able to remember these four tips, and inshallah, we'll be able to collectively, as a group of people, we should be able to at least concentrate a little bit better, or at least get our thoughts in order when it comes to having khushu' in our salah. Number one. Number one is seek the help of Allah when it comes to concentration. The first way of doing anything in this life is to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. It's always to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin with. We cannot do anything without the help of Allah. The first thing we do with anything is we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We say, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. That is the way you solidify your beginning of any task. When you say Bismillah, you're saying in the name of Allah, with the help of Allah, in the hopes of the name, the help of the name of Allah, all those things in one. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you with your concentration and prayer. If it's something you seriously, seriously want to work on, ask Allah for help. There is no one better to aid you or to help you than Allah ta'ala himself. So number one, make dua for concentration. Number two is before it is time for salah, start to quiet your mind. This is really important, y'all. A lot of times we try to squeeze in salah in the middle of a lot of other things. We tell ourselves that, okay, I can squeeze in like asr in like 3 minutes because I gotta go back to my work meeting. Or I can squeeze in asr really quickly in between this basketball game or between like this workout. Don't do that to yourself. When it comes to concentrating in prayer, you have to be able to make your mind peaceful. Get into the zone, you know, as athletes say, right? This is why athletes, by the way, they have very, very unique pregame routines, right? Some athletes will just like sit alone by themselves in the corner of the locker room. Some athletes will literally eat the same meal every single day before a game. Some athletes will go out and do something by themselves that morning before game day. It's important to get your head into the game. When it comes time for salah, one of the best things you can do for yourself is quiet your mind. We are so busy every day, people with school, work, family, friends, loved ones, chores, this, that, all that stuff. We get so tied up in all of that, that we forget that sometimes we need to get our mind in the zone when we pray. Don't try to squeeze in salah in between two other things. Always try to quiet your mind. If you're working all the way up to the time of salah, then at least those 2-3 minutes leading up to salah, try to slow down your work a little bit. Try to slow down the pace of your work a little bit. Try to hold back a little bit and try to basically ease your way into the mindset of salah. That's number one, or number two. Number three is try to understand what you're saying in your prayer. And I cannot reiterate this anymore. We have to try to understand what we're reciting in our prayers. If I go to a random country in which language I have no idea or no understanding, I am not going to benefit from that experience because I have no idea what anybody is trying to communicate with me. The same thing works with prayer. If you want to get the most out of your prayer, you have to try and engage with the meaning of the Quran. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Everybody should at least know the meaning of the Surah Al-Fatiha. You recite it multiple times a day. The scholars, they say you recite Surah Al-Fatiha 17 times a day in your salah. You should at least know what that surah means from start to finish. And if you do that, even if you don't understand the other surahs that you recite, or what you're saying during ruku or sujood or jalsa or anything like that, at least you know what you're saying when you're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. So understand the meaning of what you're reciting. That's number three. And the last one is that make sure that where you are praying is noise-free. And this is back to the point one that we made, is that when you pray, you should have a place that you pray in where it's like your go-to spot. It's your go-to spot. It's your place where you pray, where you can get in the zone. And this also has to go with like number two, which like is like get your head in the game, right? Get your head into salah. When you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sure that your head, the atmosphere around you is something that is conducive to your concentration. Don't put yourself in a chase to begin with. Don't put yourself in the back seat to begin with. Put yourself in the front seat. Make sure that you're able to pray in a place where you know you can concentrate. Don't pray in a place where you'll get distracted. And you know yourself the best. You know yourself. If I pray in front of a TV, I know that all I'm going to be thinking about is finishing that last episode of the Bly House Manor. If I'm praying in front of, you know, my computer, I know all I'm going to do is check my Instagram or Facebook account. If I pray in front of my phone, I know all I can think about is checking on my TikTok feed. I know if I pray in front of my friends, all I can think about is hanging out with them after. Put yourself in a position where you're not going to be distracted by the things around you. Put yourself in a situation where you allow yourself to succeed in your salah. And those are the four tips that we will leave everybody with. I know a couple of people had questions in the beginning about if this is going to be on the podcast. Yes, inshallah, this will be uploaded onto the Qalam podcast, as you guys have been able to see already, that the Shahada series has been uploaded to the Qalam podcast. You can find it on Spotify or Apple iTunes, and you can find it there. And also the Salah series will begin uploading, inshallah, this week as we continue, since we just started this a couple of weeks ago. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our salawat prayers that we all can concentrate in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of khushu'. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of people who can concentrate for the sake of Him and Him alone. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who do not get distracted so easily by the things in this life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who understand that the akhirah is always going to be better than this life, and that we don't sacrifice anything for the akhirah. Amin rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. We appreciate you guys very much. We love you guys for the sake of Allah from the bottom of our hearts here from the Roots community. And we will see you guys again on Wednesday for episode 6 of the Salah series, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.